Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. Hey, Group X-Files fans, welcome to episode 13. That is right, lucky number 13 today. Today we're talking about patience, practice, and progression. And we're going to look at this from both the instructor lens and from the participant lens so that we can put both sides together and really start to wow our members in this new year. All right, crew, we are back. It's a new year. People are filling the classes. And generally, when we hit the new year, we take on something new, or we at least think about taking on something new, or we're one of those people that the new year doesn't phase at all, and you're like, no, I'm going to do things when I'm going to do things, and that's cool. So today is all about patience, practice, and progression. We're going to look at this from the instructor perspective in terms of how we hone our skills and how we get better at what we do. We're also going to look at this from the participant side and how we can be a little bit more empathetic with our participants who maybe are getting frustrated because they aren't seeing the progress that they expected, or they aren't mastering something as quickly as they expected they would. Every time someone tells me to be more patient, I struggle with that. Let's just be fully transparent here. Patience is not a virtue that I excel in. Not at all. But I always go back to the famous quote by Bruce Lee that really reminds us that mastery comes through repetition. And I'm not talking 5-10 repetitions, right? Over and over and over and over and over and over until you think you possibly can't do it anymore and get any bit better. So the famous quote that's attributed to him, right, is, I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. So essentially what he's saying, right, is high proficiency in something comes from deep focused practice, right? It all starts with practice. We can't expect that we're just gonna, you know, take on a new format or do something new. It doesn't even have to be related to teaching classes, but we can't just expect that we are going to magically start doing something and be a master at it, be phenomenal at it. It would be really cool. I would like that. It would save us a lot of time. And here's why it's so much harder today. People who grew up prior to the 90s had to wait on everything. Everything. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and do a, oh, the 80s and 90s were so much better than today. Oh, nostalgia. You know, you had to wait 2 weeks to get your film developed and get the prints. And maybe it was a good picture, maybe not, but you couldn't retake the photo, etc. We're not going to go there. But today's world, so much happens so fast for us. So much is available to us almost instantaneously, that it has deconditioned us from being patient. End of story. I'm sure that there's scientific research, at least in the works, if not completed, about how the speed of processing of information and the availability of information has affected our patience. And I'm not talking about attention level here. This is not an attention level thing. This is a patience thing. We are so used to things happening quickly that we don't know how to wait anymore, right? We used to welcome a few moments of peace and quiet to just sit there and take a deep breath and decompress from our day. But now that few minutes is filled with scrolling of some sort. If we're an ambitious person, maybe it's educational scrolling. If we've had a rough day, maybe it's just mindless scrolling. Right? But we tend, when we have those few minutes of quiet, to pick up a device and scroll something. Nothing wrong with that. But we certainly have gotten out of the habit of being patient when things don't happen as quickly as we want them to, or in the exact way we hoped they would. It is very challenging for us to persevere and hold tight to get to the other side of that. And that's a crucial piece of becoming a really great instructor, right? We'll focus the first part of this conversation on the instructor side of this. If we aren't patient as an instructor, right? If we rush ourselves, then we're shortchanging everyone we step in front to present our content to, right? If we haphazardly put together a playlist an hour before class and rush it out the door and say it'll be fine because we're so excited. Like, yeah, it generally stems from excitement. We're so excited to present this playlist, or we're so excited to present this new sequence that we built. But we maybe haven't taken the time and the patience to work with it and finesse it and get all the kinks out so that really is the best product that we could present to the people in front of us. So we need to be patient with ourselves. We need to understand that we're all human. I know sometimes, you know, we get really very comfortable in what we're doing and we feel confident in our skills, which is a great place to be. And sometimes that gets in the way of our patience because we rely on that confidence and we say, it's okay, I got this. It'll be fine. But imagine if we took that extra time and took that deep breath and slowed things down and ran that sequence several more times, practiced coaching into and out of it, thought about progressions and regressions for it so that when we look around the room and we see someone struggling, we can give them options. Or when we look around the room and see someone that nailed it on the first rep who clearly needs a little bit more challenge, they have an option as well, right? So the patience piece is crucial for us creating a really polished product. It doesn't mean you can't put out a good product without being patient, but if you want a really polished product, you got to be a little bit patient and you got to put in the time. Like, patience is connected to time, and I get it. We all think we're short on time these days. But you've got to take the time. So we've got to learn to cultivate this patience again. Even if it comes 2 minutes at a time, right? When you find yourself with that downtime, instead of immediately filling it, say, I'm just going to sit here for 1 minute. Maybe just start at 1 minute even. I'm just going to sit here for 1 minute and do nothing. I'm not going to pick up a book. I'm not going to pick up a phone. I'm not going to read the back of the box of cereal. I'm just going to sit here and take a deep breath. And I'm just going to exist for this 1 minute. And then maybe that doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, more and more time. But maybe we're able to take that skill, that small bit of patience we developed, and apply it to other situations in our lives, right? We're waiting in our line in a line somewhere and it's not moving as fast as we want. We start tapping our foot or sighing or huffing and puffing or crossing our arms, right? Maybe we take that 1 minute skill of patience that we learned and take a few deep breaths while we're waiting there and ask ourselves, you know, why are we so worked up over this? But the more we can cultivate that little bit of patience throughout our lives, it's going to be much more utile for us as we work to hone our craft and to become better at what we do. We will have the patience to sit there with ourselves. We will have the patience to take a deep breath and maybe walk away for a little while before we come back to something. But we'll have the patience, at least a little bit of it, to really become great. But with that patience comes practice, right? We can't just expect to take a few deep breaths and hope on something. And I get it. There's this whole manifesting something and putting out there in the universe. And if you manifest it and put the energy towards it, it will come. And that's all well and good, but you got to put the energy towards it. And in my world, putting the energy towards it is literally physically putting the energy towards it, practicing, doing something over and over and over again. When we are baby instructors, that's all we do, right? We find an empty studio. We do it in our cars while we're stuck in rush hour traffic, at the doctor's office while we're waiting an ungodly amount of time for someone to come in and see us. Anywhere that we can, we're practicing when we're baby instructors. Let's face it, we all did it, right? You get weird looks as you're like practicing some kickboxing moves in your car or dance moves, you know, arms are flailing everywhere while you're sitting in traffic, whatever it happened to be. We had music playing all the time. We were putting it into our heads. We were running it in our brains as we listened to that music. And we physically practiced it. We ran our classes, right? Top to bottom. Or maybe in segments. Like maybe we did the first chunk of it till we felt good about that. Then we moved on to the next chunk, then the next chunk. But one way or another, we practiced our asses off as baby instructors. And not that we all need to practice so thoroughly anymore as instructors. If we are now, you know, veteran instructors and we've really put in the time, right? We have done those 10,000 kicks, metaphorically speaking, that Bruce Lee talked about, right? We have done the repetitions. We've taught X number of the same style of class. We have done this same move over and over again. We have played with the appropriate coaching for it, right? The setup coaching, the why coaching, the motivational coaching, right? We've come at that from all different angles. We've played with minor tweaks in form and alignment. Not just to do it, but the more we know, the more we can help coach people, right? So if we make this small tweak in alignment or foot placement or arm placement or hand placement, we'll know how that feels inside the body and how that shifts the muscle work. And that allows us to coach better to them. But had we not taken the time to be patient or the repetitions in practice, that part would be missing. And we just deliver the basic product. Sometimes we forget that there can be a lot of coloring right outside of the lines. Certainly, we don't want people doing something entirely different from what we're doing in class. But movement is always an experiment. Every one of us is put together differently. And if we want to honor the best way that people can move for their bodies, we need to be able to understand what slight adjustments to movements do. Because those slight adjustments might help someone who was otherwise struggling with something. So practice, 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 practice. We've heard it so many times, but only in practice can we truly and wholly understand something from the inside out. And I am wholly and fully convinced that you become exponentially better at leading a class if you understand movement from the inside out. If you know how it feels, where it feels, all of those bits of it, it makes you exponentially more effective leading the class and coaching through that. And if we're patient and we put in that practice, that's when we start to see progress. But we don't get progress without taking into consideration those first two pieces, right? I've been teaching classes for almost 20 years. We'll call it 20 years, essentially. If I were to pick up a different type of class, I would have to go right back to that patience and practice. Right? Like, if I say I was to teach step aerobics, step is like the one thing you will never find me consistently teaching. I could teach body jam in my sleep. I could do strength training. I could do all these other things. But you put that step in front of me and I'm going to be terrified of it. Number one, I'm going to have to take a lot of deep breaths and get through that practice phase or the patience phase before I even get into practice. But then there's going to be a whole lot of practice because, yeah, I've been coaching and leading classes for 20 years, but this is a very different monster from what I'm used to coaching. And if I don't sit there and practice, I'm not going to know what that feels like from the inside out. And if I don't sit there and practice, I'm not going to know the best way to effectively coach something. And if I don't sit there and practice, I'm not going to have the terminology that I want to use so deeply ingrained in me that it is second nature and it just comes right out on its own. That's the beautiful thing about practice, is that things do become second nature and you're not sitting there thinking about what you're supposed to be doing and how you're going to say it and what you're going to say all at once, because you just know it. It's innate at that point, right? That's where progress comes from. We can't expect to just snap our fingers and be good at something. I mean, it would be great because all of us want to do more things and we want to be great at more things. But a lot of the times it takes too much practice and too much energy that we don't quite get to that progress piece. And yes, we'll see little bits of progress along our way, of course. Of course we will. But it's hard to stick around for the true progress, right? Like, think of it, if you were to go out and start running, say you'd never run before. If you're a runner, humor me here. Maybe you're getting in the pool for the first time to swim laps. If you're a triathlete, sorry, I got nothing for you at this point because you're going to do all the things that I'm giving examples of. But say you're a true beginner at something. You're not going to go out and run a marathon the first time you go out to run. Your pace is not going to be what you hope it to be the first time you go out to run. The endurance is not going to be there. If you're not a swimmer, I guarantee the first time you get in the pool to swim a lap, even if you know how to swim, you're going to get through a few laps and you're going to feel like you're flailing and dying a little bit. And that's perfectly normal, right? Because that's where we start. We all start as beginners. But the only way to go from that beginner phase to the mastery phase is to keep at it and to keep taking those small wins along the way. Because if you put in the effort today, you're going to be at least a tiny bit better than you were yesterday. And then the next day you put in another bit of effort and you become a little bit better. And the next day. And it's hard to see it day in and day out. It is very hard to see it day in and day out. But when you look back a month later, when you look back 6 months later, you're going to say, holy cow, I can't believe that was me back then. So patience, practice, progression. Now, as we flip the script, this is 100% applicable to the people in our classes as well, right? It's the beginning of the year. People want to try new things. Even if they've been a regular in group exercise classes, maybe they're trying a new class for the first time, right? Their friend was like trying to get them to come to this one class and they're finally like, fine, I'll do it. Or maybe it's someone who's never taken classes and they're like, oh, I heard this was a really good way to stay committed to my goals or what have you, right? The accountability piece. Whatever it happens to be. So we've got new faces in our classes, which is great. But new faces like results, right? People come to the gym for results. And those results might be physical, they might be mental, they might be emotional, whatever they are there for. Hey, part of that is our job to figure that out, right? To have conversations, to make connections, to know why they're there, what their goals are, what they're hoping to get out of coming to the gym on a regular basis and why they showed up. But what we have to make sure they understand is that the people around them, some of them have been doing this for a very long time, so they can't look around the room and get discouraged. They've got to be patient. They've got to understand that there is a learning curve. Even for what might seem like a very simple, straightforward class to follow, might be very challenging because, you know, these people are brand new and not everyone's brains work the same way. Not everyone's bodies work the same way. So the biggest thing we can encourage our participants is to leave their ego at the door. That's going to be the best way to encourage them to be patient. Our egos expect great things from us and they expect them now. So it's very hard to be patient when the ego is leading the way. So leave the ego at the door and remind them that everyone was a beginner once. Even you, the instructor, took your first class of that type at some point. There was a day that you had never taken a bar class, that you had never taken a cycle class, that you had never taken a strength training class, whatever it happens to be, an aquatics class. There was a day that you'd never done that. And now here you are leading those types of classes, right? So remind them that everyone was a beginner. Our participants need to know that it's okay to be a beginner and that they're going to have to be patient. I always tell people, give it at least 3 tries, at least 3 classes. Try it 3 times. Because the first time, if it's something completely new to you, you're just trying to figure out what people actually do in this class, in this format, in this whatever. You're just trying to figure out what is it that this class is made up of. The second time, you say, okay, well, I kind of know that we're going to do these different types of movements. And then the second time, they're a little bit more focused on how to do it. And then by the third time, people are starting to get the hang of the basics. They definitely don't have mastery the third time, right? 10,000, maybe not 10,000 classes, but that whole idea of 10,000 repetitions. So we're not going to have mastery just after coming to 3 classes, but we're going to start to feel like we know what we're doing, that we belong there. That's where that patience starts to pay off. So if we can convince them it's okay to be a beginner and convince them to give it at least 3 tries, right? 3rd time's a charm. Then hopefully that gets them hooked enough and they start to see baby bits of progress, right? Early progress, we'll call it. Because early progress sometimes does come in a couple big chunks. Because if you go from being completely clueless to at least being, oh, I can at least kind of follow along and I'm not going to trip over the step now, that kind of feels like big progress early on. You might not be a master in doing stuff where you're flying over the step and twirling and whirling, but you've got that early win that feels like progress that keeps you wanting to take a deep breath, be patient, practice more so you can progress more. It's the biggest thing we can ask of our participants. Practice, practice, practice. It's okay to not do this exactly right. It's okay to do it a couple extra times to see if you can figure it out for yourself. It's okay if it doesn't look exactly like what your neighbor's doing or exactly what I'm doing. These things are all okay. But if we can encourage them to keep coming and to practice and to not give up on themselves, because at the end of the day, they're not giving up on us. Like, yeah, if they don't come back to our classes, that kind of sucks and we're disappointed. But at the end of the day, they gave up on themselves. They didn't trust that they could get better. They didn't have the confidence that they could get better with a little bit of practice. So if we can do our best, right, to encourage them and to let them know that imperfect is just fine. Imperfect is kind of perfect, isn't it? That's when we start to see those little wins, those bits of progress coming through, right? We're not going to bench press our goal the first time that we lay on the bench there. We're just not. And I think that's a really important thing to start the year with. As we set, you know, whether they're resolutions, whether they're just moving a certain goal marker forward that we already had set, you know, whatever it happens to be, we have to remember that progress is what keeps us going. Those little wins. And like I said, you know, as you're an instructor and practicing things, and you might not notice that you're getting better and better each time that you go in there and teach, but then you look back a month later, 6 months later, a year later, it's the same thing when we're showing up for ourselves or as a participant in class, right? We might not notice that we're getting better at something day after day. We might not notice those little wins as much, but then when we look back and we're like, holy cow, a month ago, I could only run 1 mile and now I'm running 4. Or I was running a 10-minute mile when I started and now I'm at a 9:15 mile. Or I was picking up the heavier weights today in class instead of the lighter weights. And that progress is not always linear. It's not. Progress is not always linear. There are setbacks along the way. And the setbacks, they're tricky because they make us think, Why did I just spend all this time working on this? But we also have to remember that that setback, it's just part of life. Progress is not linear. We have to accept that every now and then there's going to be a little stumble. And it's up to us to pick ourselves up and move forward. It's up to us to be determined to be better than we were the last time and go back at it and give it our best effort. And if we continue to go back at it and give it our best effort day after day, week after week, whatever it happens to be, we are going to be better. We're going to be so much better. No matter what it is that we're taking on. If we put our heads down and we focus and we're patient and we practice and we say, I'm going to get this one way or another. I am going to get this. I am going to conquer this. I am going to be better. If we're putting in the time, we're putting in the energy, we're putting in the effort, we're putting in the repetitions, we're going to hit that 10,000. And when we hit that 10,000, we're going to say, holy cow, look how far I have come. I'm now doing something that I wasn't sure I could do when I started it. And now, quite frankly, I'm kicking ass doing it. Look at me. I'm awesome. And that's a pretty freaking phenomenal way to start the year, isn't it? Not necessarily that we've gotten to that point, but looking forward to that point and knowing that that point exists in front of us. So that's our goal this year. It's not a goal per se, but we're going to be patient and we're going to practice and then we're going to see the progress. If you enjoyed today's episode, heck, even if you didn't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way and you want to get it while it's hot and fresh. See you next time on the Group X Files.